Morning. To me, it's a big chance this morning to be ministering the Word of God, especially if God gives us such a straightforward word that we need to implement in our lives. So this morning I want to ask, is there any doctors or medical personnel or people on standby here? Okay. The rest of us, please switch off your cell phones. Can I ask you to do that? Because we've got an appointment this morning with God. And He wants us to focus upon Him. Not about the things of the world, which is this thing which has been keeping us in bondage, because you haven't got any spare time and time for yourselves. So only the ones who's on standby, you can keep your phone on vibrate or silent mode or something like that. And then I want you to really come this morning and just focus upon what God wants to say to you. When I was preparing for the word that God has given me, God said to me that I should remember one thing. And that is how I need to minister the word this morning, is for you to know that I'm not a pastor. I am not trained in ministering the word. I'm not being taught how to manipulate the word of God to get a message over to the people. But this morning, God has given me a word which needs to go beyond our eyes. Now, I think most of you don't know what the lens are for this morning. Don't know what you call them in English. I think also what a lens. Now, as we entered, each one of us got one. Now, I see some has got them around their necks, some has got them around their arms, some has got their head out of their eyes this morning because of the heat. But you will understand when we start reading from Scripture what is the purpose of this lamp that you have received this morning. But before we're going to share the word, I just want us to unite in prayer. Okay. Father, I thank you that I can come this morning, Lord, and declare this morning, Father, that I am humble before you. And Lord, I pray and ask that you will spread your cloak of humility over us as a congregation this morning. And Father, that your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will come and minister unto us this morning. Lord, so that we can receive the word from your heart, pure and crystal clear, the way that you have given it to me. Father, I pray and ask that you will strengthen me to be able to minister this word this morning. And Father, I pray and ask that you will let your angels be the surrounding force around us this morning. And Father, I thank you that we can pray and ask, Lord, that your Spirit of peace and understanding will rest upon us this morning, so that we can understand the word that you have got for us. We pray that, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I want to read to you a scripture from Isaiah 29. Now, I don't know how many of you have got your Bibles with you, and I perhaps see them. Okay, I see there's a few Bibles. Now, the first thing God said to me this morning was that we have got Bibles, but we don't use them. And the title of the word that God has given me is blindness of disobedience. So please do not feel condemned this morning because of the word. But listen to what God wants to tell us this morning. Now, if you listen at the title, the blindness of disobedience, then I think all of us know that we are disobedient. We just don't know where yet. Now, In Isaiah 29, I'm going to start reading from verse 9. Stop and wonder. Now what should we stop and wonder at? Because we're in a holiday mood. So we're not that busy, we're not that occupied with what's going on around us. But the Lord says, stop and wonder. And the Amplified says, at this prophecy, if you choose. So this morning it is for you a choice, whether you're going to listen to the word of God or not. And I've been struggling a lot with, Lord, I need to bring this word in the love of the Lord. And I've been sweating it out this morning. How do I bring this word in the love of the Lord? And God says to me, bring it the way I came. The word goes on. He says, whether you understand it or not, soon you will witness the actual event and be confounded reluctantly. Blind yourselves now if you choose. Take your pleasures and then be blinded. Now this is the part where we get to the blindfolds. So this event this morning is for you to blind your eyes. Okay. So you can take an action now if you want to. Do you want to blind your eyes? Why not? Because my eyes are my comfort zone. Isn't it? With my eyes I see things and I know what to do. I look at the preacher and, yeah, he's struggling. Or no, he's moving around too much. Or no, he's standing too still too long. So please I ask you, according to the word of God, he says blind yourself. So put this blindfold on your eyes, please. The kids will be fine. You don't have to worry about them. God will take care of them. Because this morning God wants you to get rid of your comfort zone, which is your eyes. For the word that God has got this morning for you needs to get into your ears. We need to get the word of God into our ears. Who doesn't have a blindfold? How much do we need? There's three more needed. And one here. So now you are very comfortable having your eyes blind, right? Now don't shake your head. It was nice to focus upon some of the other gifts that God has given us. Louise, can I perhaps just get from the kids one or two weeks time? The kids are just outside. Okay, so now those two kids. Yeah, Louise? Who else needs a blindfold? Now we've read from the Word. The Word says that God wants us to blind our eyes. Because now you can forget about what you see. Because what I see normally determines what I hear. Now, being blindfolded it's quite difficult, right? Now this morning we had two ladies here who were deaf and couldn't hear. And unfortunately we couldn't get someone up here to sing the words so they could see it, and they left the service. But now we are blinded before the Lord. And He wants to come and speak to us this morning. So now I want you to please focus upon what God is saying to you. Not what you see. Amen. Amen. I'm going to continue reading from the Word. For the Lord has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep, and He has closed your eyes, the prophets, and your heads, the seers. He has covered and muffled. And the vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book. Can we see anything now? Do we see a book in front of us? It might appear to you the book as your Bible, the book that appears before you. I'm going to start again from verse 11. And the vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. When many give it to one who can read, saying, "Read this, I pray you," he says, "I cannot, for it is sealed." And when the man take the book and give to someone who is illiterate, who cannot read, saying, "Read this, please, I pray you," he says, "I cannot read." Now, if I come this morning and I take my Bible and I give it to Dolph and I say, "Dolph, please read for us," his reply would be, "I cannot, for my eyes are blinded." And if I take my Bible and take it to that little girl sitting there on her dad's leg and say, "Girl, just read for us from the Bible," she's going to say, "I can't, for I don't know how to read." Now, if I have this book, I'm just going to get another book, a book about secrets, gifts, and promises. Do you know that book of secrets, gifts, and promises? I don't know who of you have read it before, but I've got it, but I haven't gone through the whole book yet, so I don't know all the secrets, the gifts, and promises yet. Now, if I go back to my normal life, the way that we are all here, God says that we have all got the ability and the access to the book called the Book of Secrets, Gifts, and Promises. But we do not use it. We do not use our Bibles. So do you understand now what is the book of gifts, promises, and secrets? Are we studying that word? Now, if I have studied this book, and I come and I look at my daily life, then I say, now, why do I have to study this book? Because Sunday mornings, that's what happened, that's happening currently. Sunday mornings I get to church and the pastor has got a word for the congregation. Wow, awesome. And I get a word that I can live on. And Wednesday I go to cell and there the cell leader has got a word for us. Most of the times they refer back to the word of Sunday. So yeah, for another 2 days I can survive. And then there's the Bible church school that's running. So I attend that and, well, now I'm stronger. Now I can survive a whole week. But never do I take the time to spend with God's Word. Never do I take the time to see what God wants to say to me. Now, understanding the Word of God to us a lot of times seems to be a very difficult thing to do. Well, that's what we think. But doesn't the Word say that God has written this Word so that babes and understanding. Are we babes or are we not babes? Because if I'm a baby, then I can understand the Word of God. Now, in my daily life as a businessman or a businesswoman, I've got a working environment where I need to live out my Christian principles. And now someone at work comes to me and says, listen, I want to start a business on Christian principles. How do I go about it? Now, because I don't know what the godly principles is that God gives in the book of secrets, gifts and promises, I don't know what to tell that person. But I know a way to refer him to. I'll go speak to my pastor. Or go speak to my cell leader. Or go and attend the Bible school. Because then you will learn. But that's not where the guy wants to learn the Christian principles. He wants to learn the Christian principles from your way of life. How you conduct your business every day. If I conduct my business holy, without blemish, without spot, then I am close to where God wants me. We say to other people around us, you must live holy lives. For the Word of God says, live holy for I am holy. That's what Jesus said. Oh, and it's so easy to quote that scripture because I've heard it last Sunday or the Sunday before. But what does it mean? What is holiness today for me as a young, as a believer? How can I live out holiness in my business? In my business, can my employees see a difference between my company and the way that it operates and the Hindu or Muslim company that's across the street? Can they? Can I see in the workplace that I am that there's a difference between this workplace and the place where the Hindus and Muslims are? Or is everything just the same today, tomorrow and the day after? Me as a Christian businessman, how do I do my taxes? Being an individual Christian, how do I complete my tax forms? Am I honest? When I borrow money to run my company, where do I borrow it from? Do I go to the Muslim or the Hindu or the atheist who gives me 15% interest, or do I go to the bank and apply for a loan and get a 15% interest at the bank, but there is nothing attached to the finances that I borrowed? How do I run my company? Are my service providers being paid on time? Or do I let them suffer another 6 weeks or 8 weeks before I pay them when they are due? See, because if you go back to what the Word of God says in Deuteronomy, God says that you should pay the harvesters on time unless the money that you owe them calls out against you in the spirit and God has to destroy your finances. How many businesses, Christian businesses, have gone down? Because they do not know what the Word of God says concerning running my business. Do I keep my promises that I make to my employees? Can my employee be proud to say that he's working for a Christian? Or does he rather keep quiet because it's a disgrace to him to work at my workplace? Ouch. It's a but saw them. Now I get to the Christian employee. Me as a Christian employee in the workplace, am I different if the people in my company compare the workforce? Do I make a difference as a Christian in my workplace? Is my work up to date every day? Does somebody need to come and check up on me? Or the other side? Am I always on time? Do I get to work every day 5 minutes late? Do I take a long tea break? Am I always late after the lunch break? And do I leave 5 minutes early because you know, A, the traffic is bad and the transport is bad. If I'm not there at 4 o'clock and the taxi ran, then I miss my lift home. If I don't get out at 4:45, then I'm stuck in the traffic and I get home half an hour later. Am I stealing from my employer? Because doing the things that I just mentioned is stealing from your employee. He's paying you for a full work day. He's not paying you to steal 15 or 20 minutes a day. Am I helping myself in the cash register? Is my mindset checks? I've worked today very hard. I've handled 100,000 rand. 100 rand won't matter. And then tomorrow another 100 rand doesn't matter. And then I'm being caught out for theft. And my employee, who's a Christian employee, takes legal action against me. Then I want to run to the church and say, oh, please come and intervene for me. Come help me, I'm in trouble. I've been caught stealing. If you are the Christian employee and you keep caught someone stealing, what are you going to do? Are you just going to let it go and see your business go down because everyone in your business is stealing from you? As an employee, the stationery that I've been issued to use at work ends up at home. Who's going to care? It's just a pencil or a piece of paper. No one knows it's gone at office. The cutoffs of the material that I've used today. All the cutoffs are being thrown in a scrap bin. Nobody cares about that. Nobody cares about what happens to that because once in 2 or 3 weeks there comes a truck and they pick up the scrap and they take it away, they put a new empty bin there. That material removed from that place is being sold so that your employee doesn't have the financial loss on cut-off materials. Never thought of it. When I've been caught out in doing things wrong, what are my words that I utter? Do you know that the Word of God says that you choose because in your mouth lies the force of death and life? God says, you choose. Are you going to speak life or are you going to speak death? Because in standing up in jealousy and anger and all that stuff, the fruit of Satan and his forces, I am declaring death over people working with me. I'm declaring death over people sitting with me in the church because I'm jealous of what they do. I'm jealous because I do not understand that God has called me in a different way than He has called Dolph or Johan or Heinz. And because of my little cook, hey, yes, like, these people are making such nice food. Lord, I want to make better food than them. Is that from the Lord? No. If I get home, my wife and kids, they know. When I come into the house and I give them the look, they must be careful. Yeah, a lot of you can help. Because God spoke to me, first of all, because I could deliver, before I could deliver this message this morning. And mom will say, just keep quiet, just stay away. Dad just needs to have a little rest, and then you can come with your answers and your questions. Is that how God wants me as the father in the house to open it? Nope. Now, sorry, moms, but there's one for you as well. Because when we go to sleep tonight, if everything didn't go according to my ways, then, sorry, husband, you get a cold shoulder. Don't try anything tonight. I've got a headache, I'm not feeling well. So I manipulate my husband into doing the things that I want done. Isn't that so? Isn't that the way that religion has taught me to operate? Getting back to the children. I don't want to do what dad tells me, or mom tells me. Why do they know? They are not living in the age that we are now. They don't have the pressure of all the other kids and all our friends upon them. They don't know what it is to face up to the crowd, to the 5 and 6 children who's sharing the classroom with me. So I'll do whatever I want. Is that how we are to operate as children of God? And as husbands, we say, the family runs on my rules. And when dad is not there, mom says, this house runs on my rules. And when mom and dad is not there, the children say, I run my life on my rules. So there's no rules, because the book about secrets, gifts and promises has never been taken into consideration, because it interferes with my lifestyle. Doesn't it? Doesn't the Word of God interfere with my lifestyle? Isn't the Word of God the thing that is supposed to be the guide for my life? Parents, my kids need a place to be loved. So they do not get loved at home. So where do they go and seek for a place to be loved? So when they end up searching for it, in what do they find their love, or what they think is love? When they end up with drugs and alcohol and nicotine and pregnancies and criminal records, or even in jail, then I'm quick to say, that's a bad child. I didn't raise him that way. Or even worse, that's his friends that is not. They are the effects. That's why he, because of his friends, that's why he ended up in jail. That's why he ended up with drugs. That's why he's smoking dacha. And the kids, are we not hiding behind that same excuse? It was my friends who got me into Smokdag. How are we going to fulfill the needs of our families? As a father, as a mother, and as a child. But you see, we come on Sunday mornings and we go to church. Now, getting to church, well, if there isn't something better to do on a Sunday, then I'll go to church. And, well, if I come a little bit late, who cares? If I come half an hour late, who cares? There's no one who stands at the door and tells, hey, you're late for church. But being on time is one of the principles that God tells us that He wants from us. Or is your being late a way in which you want to say, listen, I'm important. I am not the one who listens to appointments. I get there when I want to. Or is your way in getting late to church saying, listen, I've got a problem. Can you please help me? Well, I'm falling asleep in church. Now it's a slumber spirit that's upon me. Well then, Lord, I pray and ask that you will remove the slumber spirit from everyone in this congregation so that we can hear what you want to tell us this morning. When I sit at work, the same thing happens. I fall asleep. Well, yes, like I sleep an hour or two, and no one cares about that because I'm not being missed at the work. Now I want to ask you to remove your blindfolds now. God has not finished speaking. But how is your vision now? Can you see clear? Had a night's sleep? Did you hear what God wanted to say to you this morning? Because that was the first half of what God wants to say to us. If we go now to verse 13 to 16, and I'm going to read to you again from the Amplified. And the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts and minds are far from me, and their fear and reverence for me are a commandment of men that is learned by repetition. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous thing with this people. Marvelous and astonishing things. Wow, that sounds good, right? Even though we are in a deep sleep, God says He's going to do a marvelous thing for us. Isn't that how we quote scripture? We quote what we want to hear. What does the verse say further? Listen at the astonishing things that God wants to do with us. He says, the wisdom of the wise men will perish. Yes, Lord, you can't do that. Lord, you can't let the wisdom of our wise men perish. And the understanding of the discerning men will vanish and be hidden. So where are we going to end up, Lord? Because some days I'm getting the word from the pastor and now you say, you're going to take that word away from me. Wednesdays I hear a word from the cell leader, now you're going to take away that word. What are we depending on now? Where am I going to fall to now, Lord? How am I going to survive? you start to understand why I was fearful to bring this word this morning. Because God cuts between bone and marrow, and He says that this morning I'm cutting into your soul. Because your soul is manipulating your spirit, and you cannot hear and understand my word, because you are in idolatry and you are in religion. That's what God said to me, and that's what He's saying to us as a congregation. God goes further in verse 15, He says, "Woe to those who seek to hide deep from the Lord the counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, who sees us? Who knows us?" Verse 16, "O your perversity, you turn things upside down. Shall the potter be considered of no more account than the clay? Shall the thing that is made say of its maker, 'He didn't make me'?" Isn't that what we are saying now? I'm running my life my own way. I don't need to give account to God. I've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I don't need to give account to anybody. Isn't that what the spirit of religion is doing to us? Killing us? Because we do not know Jesus. We do not know the Word of God. We do not understand the Word of God because we do not study the Word of God. How many times has Pastor Anton preached the Word from the same pulpit in studying the Word of God? Make the Word of God your own. Live in a relationship with God. And are we doing that? No. We had great praise and worship this morning. At least some of us will say that. And then some of us will say, it was just a nice song to sing. I had a lucky beat. We could clap hands and we could sing along. But do you know that God says in His Word that you will give witness about every idle word you have spoken? That includes singing. Did you know that? If I sing a song here on a Sunday morning and I don't mean that words, if it's not a feeling from the heart that I want to declare to God, it's an idle word that I'm speaking, and I will have to stand before God and say, "Lord, I just wanted to sing that song. I didn't mean it. I just wanted to sing it because it was nice." Do we understand the word, the power of our words? I don't think we do. Because we do not study the Word of God, which tells us what is the importance of our words. If I had a relationship with God, a living relationship with God, I would have entered this building this morning with a song in my heart. There wasn't a lot of people who entered in here with a song in their heart. So the spirit of heaviness that we prayed against before the service started was brought back in by us. The flesh boxes that say that we are busy, part of the body of Christ. Because we allow the enemy to bring a spirit of oppression to function upon me. I do not resist the spirit of oppression because I do not know that I can resist the spirit of oppression. Why can I resist the spirit of oppression? Because Jesus Christ has paid the price for me. He loved me so much that He paid the price on that cross so that I can be set free and everything linked and connected to me can be set free. Do we know that? No. Because we do not know the Word of God. We do not study the Word of God. Now I hope you are not falling under condemnation now. Because God says He has given us a spirit of condemnation. He's given us a spirit of love. understanding, having a clear mind. I allow a spirit of sleep to come and fall upon me because I do not want to hear the word of God. And I have not dealt with a spirit of religion from which I came, which wants to close my ears so that I cannot hear what God says. Now we have the exercise of closing our eyes. What happens if we close our ears on a Sunday morning? If you come in a Sunday morning and you enter the gate, every day issue a set of earmuffs. And those earmuffs are so tight, you don't hear a voice or a sound. Are you going to accept or receive the word of God? Or are you going to be exactly the same position where the two people were on death? That they needed someone to stand in front while we were worshipping so that they can read the lips and see with. That's their heart's desire, is to praise the Lord. So I said, first of all, Lord, when they left, I said, Lord, should I come and call me back? And God says that their hearts are right with me. Because they've lost an ability to hear, but they've used the rest of their abilities to seek my face. Who of you would have been willing to come to a church service if you cannot hear a thing? And you have to have it difficult to try and read someone's lips to understand the word that's being preached. But we have fallen into the comfort zone of our abilities. And those abilities are killing us. Do we understand the heart of God? What is the desire of my heart? Do I want to come to the church to meet with other Christians to worship upon my King? Or do I just want to be seen with Christians? Do I want to go to the cell group to be seen by God that I need something in the cell group? Or go to the Bible school and, oh yes, he's attending the Bible school. What does God say to us here? He says that they come to praise upon me with their lips and their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. Where's your heart? Where's my heart? Is my heart seeking the heart of God? Do I want to live on the words of the pastor that he preaches on a Sunday and the cell leader on a Wednesday and the people teaching at the Bible school? Or do I want to live on the words that God gives me? It's a bit tough, this word. Because this morning God gives us a challenge. He wants us to choose. And there's not going to be an altar call afterwards. I'm telling you now, there's not going to be an altar call. Because God said there will not be an altar call. Because an altar call becomes a religious activity. There are times when you need to come to the front to pray out before God. But to make an altar call every Sunday is a religious activity. And we will not allow religion to function in our congregation. Now the things that I've said this morning might be wrong. Do you know that? No, I don't, because I don't go and test the word that has been given to me in the morning at the Sunday service. And God says that we should test every word. Was the word this morning for you, or wasn't it for you? Do I have to come and stand before God and make things right with God and you? Or do I just carry on the way I live? What's God saying to you? Verse 14. how will I live my life then? Because I do not have a relationship with God. And I go my own ways, not knowing whether it is in line with the word of God or not. We have been formed by God's hands. Do we know that? Do you know that the word says that God wove you together in the womb of your mother, and He called a purpose over you before you were born? Do we know that? Do we know what is the purpose that God has called over me when I was formed? Because if I'm living in religion, I will not know that God has got a purpose for me. I will not know that I can achieve something which only I can achieve. And if I do not achieve what God has called me for, someone else will have to do double the work to achieve my stuff as well. That's bad. If I'm mistaken, I think Reinhard Bonnke said that, it might have been him or I can't remember the person's name, but God came and said, you will go out and you will bring the word to Africa. He said, but Lord, how can I do that? I'm a young believer. God says, you are number three that I've asked to do it. Do I need to look for number four? That is a slap in the face of a Christian. Must God look for someone else to fulfill my purpose? Or am I going to stand up and fulfill what God has called over me? When we get to the point of loving our God, the one who has created us, then everything in our lives changes. If we look at us as individuals, now we've heard a lot of things that God has created us in His image and His likeness. But God has built into each and every one of us something special. Look at the one sitting next to you, not next to you but behind you. Do you have the same hair? No. What does God say about our hair? He knows exactly how much hair is on me. Exactly. When I pulled that one grey hair out this morning, God knew up there was one less. That's how much God loves me. Do I know that when my wife has got a different color of clothes on, that her eyes color changes? God knows it. He has created her that way. How much do I know about the one sitting next to me in church? And I don't even ask the question, how much do I know about the one who's working with me, sharing the same working desk with me? How much do I know about them? How much do they know about me? But now we come to the point where we say, but Lord, I'm living in desperate ways. Because the Lord says that He has formed us, and can we now come and say, no, God has formed us. He didn't put the things around us that's just there because of luck. That's just how the things happen. That's how nature lets things run. Who created nature? God. Who controls nature? God. Who gives rain? God. Who gives hot weather like we have today? God. Who allows us to live, to become 60 and 70, and if we're strong, 80? God. Does Satan have the right over life? Haven't you asked your question, that question a lot of times? If I'm playing in Satan's ground, if I'm worshiping Him, He might be able to take my life if God allows it. Satan doesn't have the right to steal our lives. And because of the sins that we are in, and because we haven't got a relationship with God, God can allow him to steal someone at a young age and die an unnatural death. Now go and test that to the right. Do not just accept this word as I brought it to you. Go and test the word. Now a very famous excuse we've got in not living in that living relationship with God is that the way that I live. I've got no job. So how can I say God loves me? I haven't got my own house. I haven't got my own farm. I haven't got my own business. I've got sickness, diseases. I've got a lack financially. I'm poor. There's no one who wants to stand in a relationship with me. I haven't got friends. God doesn't love me. Otherwise, you wouldn't give me all this. Isn't that what we say? What does God's word say when we say these things? We don't know. What does Jesus say about it? We don't know. Because we don't know Jesus. We do not know his heart. We do not know what Jesus wants for us. Now I want you to look at two things this morning. With your spiritual eyes, not your physical eyes. Religion, on the one side, and relationship, on the other side. Now, what is religion? This side. Religion is when I'm doing things that people tell me to do. What does the word say about religion? I've heard the best explanation of that when I was not 20 years younger. A big guy. There was some kind of team from America who came over to South Africa. Now that guy's got a chest measurement of over 2 meters. And they said it spot on. He says, religion is a fancy car that's taking you straight to hell. Rough, right? So we go look in Proverbs and we will see the description that God gives about religion. But now I come to relationship. You see, it's two different worlds. There's a world where I'm controlled by man. Relationship is where I'm in a relationship with God. Relationship, a fellowship, two fellows in one ship. I'm going to forget that. Relationship and fellowship are two fellows in one ship. And I would prefer to be in the same ship with God than to be in the same ship of man. Because when God talks to me, He wants me the best that He can give me. When I'm in a relationship with God, He gives me strategies and guidance to be able to be ahead of the ruler of the world. Now when I am the head of Satan's plans, can he steal from me? Can he try and kill me? Can he steal my harvest? Can he steal the seed that I've got from God for my harvest? Can he give me a business? No. If I'm in a relationship with God, what God said to me as a farmer, he says, I will give you what to plant the next year. Are we at that point of in a relationship with God? As a businessman, God will tell me, you go and you start business with this item. A small item. And you know what? Before you've got all the sleep out of your eyes, you've got a prosperous business. And then you must be careful that you don't fall back into mammon. But if my relationship with God is healthy, I will not fall back into serving my mom. Because I will know who is my provider. That's where God wants us. He wants us in a ship with Him. Where He can give me the detail of which direction to steer the ship. God doesn't want us to live in shacks. People use this word of shacks very, very frequently. But I don't think all of us understand what living in a shack means. Especially when it's as hot as today. We've driven past an informal settlement near Volkhol, where there's a gap about this wide. There's a path here between the shacks. And then it is galvanized seam as far as you can see. There's a road in between in this size, and then it's about 5-6 meters, there's another walkway. Do you know how hard it gets underneath galvanized steel? And we say we live in luxuries, but we have got limitations. Lord, my house is not big enough. Yes, Lord, I need aircon in the house. It's hot. But we have not got a relationship with God, and we do not understand that there are people suffering more than what I can imagine. And we haven't got a relationship with God in which He can tell me, just take a cup of soup and give it to your neighbor who stays 3 houses from you, because they haven't got food to eat. I don't know they haven't got food to eat because I'm too rushed. I don't care about who lives next to me. I just care about myself because I'm in religion and I'm in idolatry. Being in a relationship with God means that I will be changed in my being. Because when we share intimate times with God, then He heals me so that I can be a treasure in the hand of my Creator. We are at the end of 2012. I don't know if you know it. I just checked the almanac and I can see this 2 days to go. Now, when 2012 started, I went to God and said, Lord, give me a word for 2012. Didn't all of us do that? Didn't we get to ask, Lord, what's going to happen in my life in 2012? We didn't. Did it happen? Did every promise that God gave me at the beginning of 2012 came into fulfillment? Some of it might, but a lot of it didn't. And I said, Lord, but now 2013 is ahead of us, and now there's so much bijgeloof about 13. But you know what God says this morning? 2012, can you be your year of expectations? Now, if I choose this morning to live in a relationship with God, God can fulfill the expectations of my heart. But if I choose this morning to carry on the way that I was when I came in through those 2 doors this morning, next year this time, you will be at the same position as where you are now. The promises that God has given you that will come into fulfillment will still be on hold. Do we want that to happen? No. So, God has given me a lot of more things to say this morning. But He says that this is enough. Now, in my heart it feels, Lord, but I only said the harsh things. What about the nice things? What about the promises that the blind will hear? The blind will see and the deaf will hear. That my fruit basket will become a fruit field. Don't worry about the forest and the bare land that will be turned into a fruitful field. God says that is what you need to read in the Word. Because you can go and carry on from verse 17 to 24 in Isaiah 29. That is part of your choice this morning. If you want to hear what the promises are that God has got for you, if you are in a relationship, living in a relationship, or if you want to carry on the way you are. Now this morning, we each one got a blindfold. That's why I really needed everyone to have one before I started sharing the word. Now the challenge that God gives you is that you take that blindfold because your makeup is on it, or your sweat is on it, or whatever is on that blindfold. Because it had to keep your eyes closed. And you go on the right on that blindfold, your choice this morning. I'm going to choose to live in a relationship with God, or I'm going to choose to stay the way I am. I do not want to make your choices for you. But I think if we look at the advantages of being in a relationship with God, it will be an easy choice to make. But to stay committed to that choice is what is going to be a little bit more difficult. Now, let me just see what else there was. God had me write this in bold letters about your blindfold. So for Him it's very important. Because He knows that if I have got something to remind me, then it's going to be easier to keep to that what I've made a choice for. And the greatest thing of all is that we have got victory. But we have not accepted the victory yet. Every Sunday, mostly the last few months, we've been having communion. And communion became to us just another religious activity. Now because of that communion, the body of Christ that was broken for me, and the blood of Jesus that was shed for me, I can make a choice this morning. I can choose to stay where I was, in religion, in selfish ambitions, and all the rest of the things of the world. Or I can choose to turn my eyes to God and to draw close to God so that His word that says that their hearts were afar from Him, but that word will not be a word that is legal over me anymore. This morning we have heard the truth. And it was a sharp cutting sword. It was cutting right down to my being, right into the center of my heart. It has gone through my soul, it's gone through my spirit, it's gone through my body. And I have to make a choice this morning. But this morning I want to invite you to have communion this morning. Because God has given us victory. But before we're going to have communion, I want you to close your eyes once again. I'm going to ask Rachel to play a song for us. And I really need you to listen to the words of the song. Because it says so much about our conditions that we are in now.
Pleasures of this world.
and not the fruit of the world. Therefore, Lord, I thank you that as we use communion this morning, that we can be reminded of your love for us, or that we can be reminded of the price that you have paid for us, and Lord, that we can have an expectancy for what is ahead of us when we are in a relationship with you. We honor you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.